We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, BronxPinstripes.com proudly brings to you the most exciting Yankees podcast in the world, George's Box.
All the dramatic things I've ever seen. George's Box. Goodness gracious. Goodness gracious.
Welcome back to George's Box. I'm JJ.
I'm Nick.
Something about Yankee fans. Nick, you go first.
Jack, there are a lot of phrases, a lot of sayings, wise tales. Some of them have truth to them and some don't. One thing I've always kind of subscribed to that there's truth in is the phrase, nice guys finish last. And the Yankees are the nice guy team. Aaron Boone's a great guy, nice guy. Everybody loves him. He's great with the media. Tyone, he seems like a good dude for all intents and purposes. Britton, you know, these guys have charities. They're nice. They're smiling. They never get angry. And you look at the Red Sox, Alex Cora, total dickhead, World Series champ. A.J. Hinch, total douchebag, World Series champion. Kevin Cash, also an asshole. He at least got to a World Series and kicks our ass every time. We have become the nice guys, the content guys, the complacent guys that don't give a shit. And I think Aaron Boone's content. I think he's like, you know what? We're over 500. I like the at-bats that we're having, yada, yada, yada. We have a good group. Like, he seems content to me. His actions and his words tell me that he's content and satisfied with the way the team's going. And I think when you look at this roster, how many killers do we have? How many guys do we have that are looking to rip your heart out? Cole, LeMahieu, Chapman. That's it. You can try, and everybody else is just a nice guy looking for a paycheck. And we need more killers. Those 90s teams had killers. Even in 2009, we had killers. We have a bunch of nice guys, and they say that a team adopts the personality of their manager, which I believe, and I know you believe too. And Aaron Boone's a nice guy, and we have a bunch of players that are nice guys, and they don't get pissed off, and they don't give a shit. And that's why we're 33 and 32.
You know, there's been a lot of talk on Twitter the past couple days. There's been a lot of talk between fans. There's been a lot of talk. I was on ESPN Syracuse today, you know, talking to those guys. I want everyone to just hear me very clearly. I'm not yelling. I'm not upset. There's not a joke. There's not a punchline here. The 2021 New York Yankees are not going to win the World Series. They are not going to win the World Series. You know why they're not going to win the World Series? Because they're not a World Series caliber team made up of World Series caliber individuals. They don't have a manager that's a World Series caliber manager. We have a general manager who has won World Series before. But maybe the game has changed and passed him a bit. So we're going to yell. We're going to be upset. We're going to make jokes. But I want everyone to understand very clearly. Is it possible that they win the World Series? Yes, because they haven't been kicked out of the league yet. So technically, they're still eligible. And I do understand that the Washington Nationals, just 2 years ago, were a pretty bad team pretty late into the season and went on a run. That team had a three-headed monster of pitchers. That team had emerging stars in Juan Soto, some of the other guys on that team. They had veterans who were not past their prime. They had a lot more to offer than we do. So let's get that out of the way. What just happened this weekend, personally, is one of the most embarrassing things that I have seen as a Yankee fan. I live in the Philly area. You live, you're from the Philly area. The Phillies have not hosted the Yankees on a weekend in 20 years. Since 2001, the Yankees have not played here on a weekend. Every year when the schedule comes out, you hope for the Yankees in Philly on a weekend. I'm sure you have your entire life. I have since even when I didn't live in Philly, because I know people who are going to go to the game. You like going to the game with friends. There could be a tailgate. I travel down from New York for it. When this game showed up on the calendar, it became all hands on deck of how do we beat COVID so that the Yankees can play in Philly and I can go and have a good time. The organization, I've talked about it, fucked up the tickets for me in trying to, you know, buy a suite. But what the New York Yankees did was embarrassing. I brought my 1.5-year-old daughter to her first game, so I was running a little late. I get to my seats, I miss the top of the first. And there's two guys on base already. I didn't see a moment that the Yankees were in any in the game at all. This was it's heartbreaking. It really is heartbreaking because it's in our backyard.
It was disgusting. And to get taunted by those blue-collar, loudmouth idiots for 4 hours on Saturday and 4 hours on Sunday. And I live amongst them, and some of them are nice, and I have friends and whatever. But the majority of the people in that stadium were loud, drunk, blue-collar idiots giving us shit. It was painful. There's no other way to describe it. And it's tougher because when we lose to the Red Sox or we lose to the Rays or even the Astros, like, I do have respect for the talent in those organizations. Like, they're good organizations that win. The Phillies haven't been in the playoffs since Blockbuster was around. They have the longest drought in the National League. They have no farm system. They're not good. They have basically all of our retreads, all of the guys that we didn't want to re-sign. They signed them all because nobody else wants to
Ronald Torres was a starting shortstop against us this whole weekend, and we are a hamstring from Tyler Wade.
It was embarrassing. It's embarrassing to lose to them. I don't really know how else to say it. And just to get punked by them, and you had the gut-wrenching extra-inning walk-off, and then you had the embarrassing blowout. Like, if I could have drawn up what's the worst possible way that this weekend would break, it would have been this. It would have been a heartbreaking walk-off loss and an embarrassing blowout. And that's what we got.
It really is, because the heartbreaking walk-off is like, yeah, I'm going to come back tomorrow, but I'm not happy about it. And then it was just like, yeah, I'm just going to fuck you slow for hours. It was it's just like beyond words. I can watch the Yankees get their asses kicked, or I can listen to someone explain over my shoulder to someone else why the DH is ruining baseball. Don't make me do both at the same fucking time. And that's what the Yankees did. The Yankees made me listen to a guy talk about how the DH is ruining baseball and true baseball is the pitcher's batting. And then every time a pitcher came up, I go, what do you think's going to happen here, buddy? Just yelling at him the whole game like an asshole. He made me be an asshole. The Yankees made me be an asshole because I can't put up with that shit. And like the vibes on, listen, we go to Minnesota, we win two games. Are we back? No, but we see a path. You see how you sweep them, you roll into Philly this weekend, and you sweep the Phillies. All of a sudden, you're on a 5-game win streak, you're feeling better, and then you'll lose the game on Thursday. Chapman just didn't have it, and it's very easy to, in that moment, be rational and level-headed and say, oh, Chapman just didn't have it. He's been so good all season. He just didn't have it. It's fair. It happens. Chad Green blew a game a couple weeks ago. You know, these guys can't be perfect every time. The best guys can't be perfect every time. So the energy's high for the weekend. I mean, a 4 o'clock start.
Coming off an off day. Everybody's rested.
Oh, I thought you meant us.
No, I'm saying Friday was an off day for the team. They should have been ready to go.
No, I thought you meant like me and you, like physically. Like coming off an off day, got a good night's sleep. I mean, at 36 years old, coming off missing my whole 35 season, I was at Xfinity Live ordering shots of Jameson at 12:30 for a 4 o'clock game, knowing my child is coming at 3:30, 4 o'clock-ish. So the energy was high. Xfinity Live, for anyone who's never been to the Philly stadiums, essentially we have like there's a mall in between all the stadiums, but instead of stores, it's just bars, all different themed bars. The middle, the hallway's a bar. Everything's a bar. And it was, I want to say, I can comfortably say it was 2-1 Yankee fans to Phillies fans.
Yeah, I was thinking 60-40. And that made it worse, man. Look how much they let us down. Yankee fans traveled. We filled up the opposing ballpark, and that's the effort you give us? Like, fuck you, Boone. You're satisfied. You're happy. Fuck you, dude. We're putting in more effort than the players. We're filling up road stadiums trying to will this team to do anything, and they roll over and get their dicks kicked in. The fucking mascot is mocking Sinatra and smashing a Yankees helmet. Like, we are getting punked. I'm tired of being the nice guys, man. It's not a fun identity to be the nice guy team. It's really not.
Between that and the people who were outside the stadium last year and then calling him Karen Boone, like, I mean, Philly's got us right now. And I don't know when we play them again. You know, like, we may be looking at, like, oh, it's going to be another 3 years, 4 years before we play the Phillies again. And
we play them in Yankee Stadium in July, and we're probably going to be out of the race by then, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
Late July, so.
So, you know, the vibes were good. I mean, we met Dan. Dan showed up, you know, ready to rip.
He flew up from Florida, man. Talk about putting in effort for this fucking series.
He flew up. We, you know, we were with the BP Philly crew guys, having drinks with them, meeting people who flew in from all over the place. I met a couple of our listeners. Shout to those guys. As soon as Dan and everyone walked away from me because they were going in, and I was like, oh, I got to wait like 5 minutes for my wife. Someone came up to me and he listens to the show. I forget your name. He had his girlfriend take a picture of us. And that was the moment where I was just like, yo, I am tanked. I am tanked. Because I had stepped outside. We were in PBR and I stepped outside and I didn't have sunglasses. And it was just like, oh, I am tanked right now. This is not good. And like everyone was so excited. There was so much potential. And we showed up. We gave a lackluster effort. Even coming back and tying that game in the ninth, I was with a buddy that I went to college with who was up in our section too. And he's a Yankees fan. And he was like, yeah, you probably don't watch any Phillies games, do you? And I was like, no. And he was like, well, this guy who's pitching stinks. So we're probably going to tie this game up. And then we did. But here's the thing. Even when we tied it up, I mean, we knew Judge wasn't going to hit a home run after that, too. Like,
come on.
We knew it.
Definition of too little, too late. It reminded me of LeMahieu's game-tying homer in Game 6 of the 2019 ALCS, where it's like you got the big punch, you tied it, and once you sit back down, you're like, oh, shit, we're about to get walked off. Like, there's no way that we're scoring again. You know what I mean? Like, it was that excitement for, like, 30 seconds of, like, jubilation and going nuts, and then I remember sitting back down and being like, oh, shit, if we don't score here, like, they're just going to walk us off the next inning. And then, you know, it took until the 10th to walk us off. But once you go into a tie game and extra innings on the road, it's going to be tough, especially with this new bullshit rule.
Especially with the rule. And, you know, yeah, there's no faith in this team. And we also saw, and there's no reason for us to expect anything different, but when we're 6.5 games back, we got swept by Boston the weekend before. We just blew a big game. We just blew a game against Minnesota. If it's game 5 of the World Series, right, and we're down 3-1, Giancarlo Stanton's still on the bench.
He sat game six of the 19 ALCS for rest, an elimination game.
Like, like, I hate to say it. I hate to be, like, I don't think I'm the first guy to give up on this team. But, like, this team ain't it.
It's not a likable group either. Like, it's not like they have any good storylines or any fun players. Like, what has been a good storyline about this team? What's one fun thing that's happened this year? I can't think of one positive feel-good storyline. Can you?
Yeah, they don't even have, like, fucking mustaches or, like, a thing they do at second base.
Not, there's nothing. Yeah, you don't do that anymore. They're not likable.
Because it's not the same team. The team is just a rotating, like, who's kind of healthy today. And so, like, you know, if you are, I don't know, born in 1995 or like later, I hate to break to you, like, this ain't the team. This ain't it. Don't, yeah, I know you saw 2009 and you remember that, but everything, nobody, we never, no one uses the 2009 team as an example of like, that's what we need to be. Because we bought that World Series, which is fine. Which is fine because you pay your players. But the idea of anyone saying, like, whoa, slow start in 98, like the 2000 team, oh, you know, only God, won 87 games or whatever, you weren't around. You weren't paying attention. This is not that team. This team couldn't fucking carry Scott Brosius's jockstrap. You know, there's no balls. There's no backbone. And so I said it last year. I've said it in the offseason. And it was an idea. But now there is no better time to trade Aaron Judge than right now. Play a couple games, get this back. So I'm not even talking at the deadline, cuz that back with back spasms now, oh, you know, fatigue from flying across the air, this is a ticking time bomb that's ready to go off. And anybody, listen, when you say, like, oh, we can't get rid of Judge, that'd be giving up. Yeah, we are giving up. It is, because we are not Trevor Story away. Unless Trevor Story can start two games a week on the mound.
And we're not hit left-handed.
We're not Trevor Story away. We're just not a good baseball team. And that is fine because things change. And the league has changed. And so if you trade Aaron Judge, right? And people are, well, who's going to trade for him with all the things that you're saying about him? Someone will. Like maybe the Padres. The Padres have traded 15 of their top 30 prospects. Okay? They are battling with the Dodgers. And as we know, like, the window is not forever. The window will close on them. They're in a window now. How long is their window? I don't know. But the Padres are in third place.
Yes.
While still being 9 games over 500, only 3 games back, the Giants are surprising some people. If the San Diego Padres add a bat, a power bat, a good guy like Aaron Judge.
A nice guy.
A really nice guy who's a good baseball player. I've never said Aaron Judge is not a good baseball player. Have I said he's not clutch? Yeah, but that's just based on the statistics around him being up in any clutch situation aside from that one walk. I'm only basing it on facts.
The one walk.
But if you are a Padres fan and you're the Padres and you've been close before, but like you've got this core, you've got Machado, you've invested in Tatis, you know, eventually one of them will probably become an albatross of a contract because someone will get injured. They'll be fighting injuries. Like, let's strike while the iron is hot. Let's fill those seats in beautiful Southern California. And if we will give you Aaron Judge and you give us, we'll take Tommy Pham because he's an expiring contract. He makes $8.5 million a year. So whatever. And they'll have to move, you know, someone at the major league level, probably. If they don't want to give us, I don't give a shit about having him. Give me Mackenzie Gore, who's the number 6 overall prospect in baseball, the number 1 pitching prospect. He's a lefty. Okay. He was a number 3 overall pick a couple years ago. Give me him. Give me their number 2 prospect, who's number 8 in baseball, CJ Abrams, who is playing in Double A as a shortstop, a future shortstop, and then maybe give me Robert Hassel, who's number 62 overall pick, their fourth overall pick. He's an outfielder. It gives us a little outfield depth, you know, in the minor leagues and some freedom to look at moving, you know, Andujar or Clint, depending on like whatever. Because also Hassel is, he's a lefty, you know, playing A ball. So that's as much research as I've ever done for this podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say that. You really got in the weeds.
Everybody. Well, because here's the thing. I think I lay out a very valid argument to trade Aaron Judge. And then everyone on Twitter goes, well, who's going to trade for him? It's like, well, I don't know. I'm not fucking Brian Hoke is going to figure that out. Right. But Brian Hoke can't write that article yet. Lindsey Adler can't write that article. These guys cannot write that article because they have to talk to the players every day. And I'm not going to write that article because I'm lazy. And that's why I don't do what they do for a living for a living. That and I like making a lot of money. But, you know, we get a couple of these guys. We rebuild our farm system. We've got – what did Dan say to us here? C.J. Abrams is batting – 354 in his career. Jesus Christ, a batting average starting with a 3?
What?
Right?
You're allowed to do that? That's allowed? Nope.
So I'm saying, like, this is – it's 2016, all right? So I've been big on the trade Judge because odds are he's not going to keep up this level. He's having his best season that he's had since 2017 – even sitting out a couple of games here and there for, you know, odd little tweaks, he's on pace to play more games than he's played since 2017. You can give someone Aaron Judge for a year and a half, and the same way people charge us the Yankee premium for trades, this is the Aaron Judge gap tooth Pepsi ad, Jersey Mike's. He'll do fucking, I don't know, Rancho Tacos or whatever it is down there in San Diego. He could, whatever their, you know, their chain is down there of mediocre food, he can do that. You can win a World Series while we're asleep at the wheel. You'll probably blow it anyway. He'll probably get injured. But still, you could make that. I also think we trade Chapman. You trade Chapman just like we did before. You trade him. He's having a great season. I'm very happy for him. However, like, even as he's like reinvented himself, right now we don't need a shutdown closer because we don't have a lead ever. And we're not going to have
a rebuilding team.
Yeah. If it's a rebuilding team, you do not have a closer that you pay. What do we pay? $15 million a year.
He makes like $17.5 million. He makes a ton of money.
Yeah. You do not.
Same thing as 2016. You could trade him. You could trade Britton. Look, you got these relievers. You could trade Green. I'm ready to trade Judge. Look, if anybody trades for Judge, you get him for 2 pennant runs. You know, 1.5 years. This is the only time to do it because once you get to the offseason, we've seen it with Lindor and Betts. The return isn't great for 1 year. But for 1.5 years, you can still get a good return. And it opens you up to even teams like the Athletics who might not be able to sign him long term, but they'll take him for 1.5 years. They're in first place. He's from Linden, California, which I think is like 15 miles from the Oakland Coliseum. That's who I thought of. You thought of the Padres. I also want to trade either, whether it's Gio or Voit. We got to make room for Corey Seager. You know, the whole thing before was, oh, we got this great shortstop class coming up, but which infielder are you going to get rid of? Any of them. That's the fucking answer. Gleyber, Gio, whoever. Voit, I want to make room. I want to sign Corey Seager, who's left-handed, who plays the game the right way, who makes contact, who's an elite fielder. Bring a guy like that in here. I think he'd be the perfect Yankee. And look, Voit's 30. Gio's 29. Like, by the time we're good again, they're going to be, you know, pushing 35. Everybody should be on the table for me except Cole, realistically. I would listen to offers for Gleyber. What has he done?
Yeah, no, I would listen. The only reason I didn't bring up Oakland is they don't really have a good farm system.
Okay. I haven't looked at farm systems.
They're ranked 26.
Okay.
And they have shown – I mean, they're in first place now. That's the World Series for them. Like, they've already won the World Series the way that they run their team. So, you know –
What about the Giants? They're in first place, and Cashman clearly has a relationship. They just made the trade with Talkman in – Judges from there. Could that be in play? How's their
form? They're 11th.
Okay.
They've still got a couple guys in the, you know, the top 100 prospects. So,
and I don't give a shit about, oh, you can't, I'll trade him to the Mets. I don't care who they trade him to. Like, oh, yo, you can't trade him to this team. We can't trade within the division. I don't give a shit. Get the best return possible.
I don't like the idea, and it's just a personal thing. So it's irrational, and it's the wrong answer. I could not live seeing him in, like, in a Rays or a Red Sox uniform and having to face that.
I don't care anymore, man. I don't. That doesn't bother. If we're not winning anyway,
I'm actually not trade him to Tampa knees. And let the turf wear out those knees.
Yeah, right. That would actually be the best case scenario. We trade him to Tampa, and Tampa always has great prospects. They got prospects out the wazoo. We have one, Dominguez.
we have one prospect who is not playing in the minor leagues yet. Like,
right, he starts in a couple of weeks.
Still. I saw a video of him hit a monster home run, and the guy on the mound was wearing the same uniform he was, so it doesn't matter.
You're right. No, you have to sell, and you cannot buy. You cannot sacrifice any of the prospects we have left for something that isn't going to happen anyway and jeopardize the future. I am fully on board with selling. They're a game over 500. They have a -7 run differential. They have allowed more runs than they've scored. Like, it's not like they're close. Like, people are like, oh, the small sample size, they'll turn it around. Batted ball velocity. They have less runs than they've scored. The Blue Jays have a +50 run differential. We're lucky to even be over 500. Our record based on a run differential should be a lot worse.
Could you imagine being in first place in the division and having the number one farm system? Because that's what the Rays do. Yeah. It's insane. It's insane. So, you know, like, it's just, like you said, Cole is untouchable. I mean, if someone really made an offer for DJ, like, yeah.
I would. I just don't think there are going to be teams lined up for a 32-year-old infielder with 6 years left. And I don't mind. Like, he's a guy, like, during a rebuild, be a good influence on younger players. Yeah. Like, he's just a good guy to keep around, I think.
Yeah. I think he will take, like, kind of that leadership role. But, yeah, I mean, it's maybe those two are untradeable, like, in the system. I mean, I guess you hold on to Dominguez because he's Mike Trout. But, like, literally everyone, because all we've learned. And so you got to, you know, as you take the steps, you go, all right, well, you got to get rid of these guys. Boone has to go. No one, like, nobody has lost, like, the fans, no one's defending him. There are zero defenders. Not even morons. When even morons aren't defending you, because I'm going to get into the Cashman defending morons shortly.
Oh, yeah.
But nobody is defending Aaron Boone right now. And I get it. Like, the press conferences that he's giving, they're atrocious. But if I was in that position, I would also be giving an atrocious. Because, like, what are you going to do? You can't, like, I'm about to lose my job. What do you want? I'm on a PIP. What the fuck do you want from me? What else? So I don't expect anything else out of Aaron Boone. I don't expect him to give us good information. I don't expect good press conferences. I don't expect good lineups. I don't expect good pitching changes. You know why I don't expect those? Because they haven't happened. And to think that they're going to change overnight. Women are killed every day in this country because they take that mentality of, oh, no, he's going to change. It'll be different. Don't let yourself fall into that. Don't at all. I said I was on ESPN Syracuse today, and here's what I said to those guys. After a year away, everyone being stuck in their houses, it's all over Instagram and Twitter and TikTok, hashtag hot girl summer. I am also going to have a hot girl summer. Am I going to wear a sundress? No. But I am not going to let a bunch of fuck boys in their 20s who have a good job in New York City ruin my fucking summer because I'm hoping they'll be someone that they aren't. And that's the New York Yankees.
You're exactly right. And I think about my fandom. you know, DVRing games, going on airplane mode, blowing off social plans to watch this team. And I do all of that with the idea that this team has a legitimate chance to win a championship. That is the fuel for me bringing a TV with me to a bachelor party. That's the fuel for going on airplane mode for 7 hours. And let me tell you something. I'm not doing all that shit for a 500 team. If I am home on a weeknight and I have nothing going on, will I sit down and watch? Absolutely. But like this Friday night, I made a dinner reservation for me and Jamie proactively. I can't tell you the last time that I made a dinner reservation actively on a Friday night during baseball season. I guess probably 2016 would probably be the last time when they were eliminated. But that's where we're at. This is a 500 team. And when you take away the chance of a championship, like what other juice do you have as a fan? Like there's no point. And I remember we were at Xfinity. And I was like, oh, Jack, like, you know, maybe that Friday night, July 2nd or July 3rd, I'll probably get out of work at like 2 or 3 o'clock. Maybe we could go to that Friday night game. Fuck that. I'm not doing that. I'm not making the trip. They're under 500. I'm just not doing it.
So another thing with, you know, being down in, like, my in-laws are Phillies fans. Now I have to go to Father's Day and listen to these guys who, like, I think baseball is like their third favorite sport, fourth favorite. It's like football, college basketball, NBA basketball, baseball, I guess. Just fucking, yeah, I mean, it's going to be nonstop.
It's painful. It's painful.
My mother-in-law texted me and my wife as I happened to be walking out of the game yesterday when it was 5, I believe it was the fifth inning. And she said something about how my daughter looked like she was having so much fun at the game. Too bad the Phillies beat the Yankees. And I said, I already left today's game. And they said, lose some, win some. My father-in-law asked, were you that upset that you left the game? And I said, every minute I spend at this game is an investment that I've lost in my pool. I can't spend a summer doing this, driving back and forth to New York. I'll just be in the goddamn pool.
Me too. I got a pool in my building. It's a lot more fun than watching this team. And yeah, it's not worth the train rides or driving up and spending the money. It's fucking expensive. Like, you know, sometimes we get free tickets and stuff, but it's still expensive getting up there from Philly. And it's the time. Like, even if you go to a 1 o'clock game or something on a Saturday, that's 10, 11 hours all in. Generally, if you're pregame and leaving, whatever, it's not worth it for a 500 team. And if people want to say, oh, we're bad fans, I don't, people judging my fandom, I'm not even listening. Don't care.
Yeah. It is, you know, it's like $40 in gas since Joe Biden decided to raise the price on gas because that's how it
Asshole.
Works. You fucking morons. It's not how the fucking economy works. It's tolls on the highway, $16 for the George Washington Bridge, $45 for parking. So if everything at the game is free, we're still at like $100.
Minimum. And the time, like if I don't go with you and I take the train, it's even longer than all that.
Yeah.
And it's more of a hassle. And it's the subway and it's the hassle of it. It sucks. And the thing is this is basically 2013, 2014. The difference is at least we had fun retirement tours to distract us. You had Mariano's retirement tour in 2013, and then you had Derek in 2014. Everybody was celebrating us. The games were selling out, and there was something to celebrate. This is a 500 team with nothing to celebrate. So it's arguably worse than that.
I'm wondering what for the first like home game Sunday during the NFL season, what fucking alumni they're going to trot out there. Gerald Williams Monument Day. Because we've run out of fucking people to like.
A-Rod would be the only one that I can think of. They've done everybody from the 90s dynasty. I think pretty much, you know, they did Derek, Andy, Jorge, Mo. They did that all in like a 2-year span.
Yeah,
that group's washed up. Like that's dried up that well. So I don't know.
Maybe they'll bring back like the 2000 team because they couldn't last year. Like that's what they'll say.
I don't think even that would sell out. And that's where.
Oh, it's not going to sell fucking anything because this team's atrocious. But that's what they shoot for.
We know that Hal is generally a guy that if people are going to the games and buying chicken buckets and Bud Lights, he's good. But if we get to August and let's say they're 5 games under 500, which. Isn't that crazy? They're only a game over 500 now. At what point do you think he might just – do you think that gives them a chance to fire Boone or do something drastic if – let's say they're averaging, you know, 20,000 fans a game or something, like really bad in August. Like do you think they do something just for revenue reasons?
No, well, because you still have to pay out the contract.
Yeah, so, but I think the idea of seeing an empty Yankee Stadium with regulations lifted is a terrifying thought for Hal.
Yeah, but I mean, if they fire Boone and they're five games under 500, are you going? Are you going to start like, hey, I got to be there to see?
Honestly, I would, just to see if the atmosphere is any different, just to see if it's any different. I would consider it, yeah. They're going to have to do something at some point because this just isn't working. At the end of last season, I whined and moaned and bitched that the team wasn't athletic enough and they weren't fast enough. And they did nothing to address that. Like, this isn't that big of a surprise. They didn't address any of the issues that they had last year. Pretty much just decided to run it back and switch up a couple of the pitchers, but there were no big changes made.
Yeah. I mean, no, we said, like, hey, we had to spend our time. We spent our offseason playing chicken with DJ.
Yeah, that was it.
Like, that was the move, was we're just going to wait on this. We can't do anything else until that. And, yeah, we went out and got Kluber. I'm still not mad. If Kluber doesn't pitch another game for the Yankees, I'm still not mad at that deal because that's you have the opportunity to get him. He looked healthy. He had figured it out. And now, like, you know, something's going on. He played catch. He felt, you know, everything went good when he played catch. So they moved him to the 60-day DL because that makes sense.
And we were both on board with that just because we didn't want to run it back with Tanaka and Paxton again. Yeah. That duo was not getting it done. So you wanted to try something with Kluber and Tyone, fine. But Tyone, you cannot show up on a Saturday with Yankee fans invading a road park and put in that kind of effort. I mean, talk about not showing up. That was fucking pathetic. That was Luis Severino 2017 wildcard game. Like, you did not even show up, man. It infuriated me. The one out that he got was a foot away from being a grand slam. He didn't make one good pitch.
Nah. Just had absolutely nothing. And I do. The only thing that gives me any tolerance for him is that he'll at least stand there and be like, yo, I sucked. Like, and I need to be better. Yeah. And I just look at it like, well, if you were the only one sucking, then I could really be mad. But you're not. Like, we're not Tyone away from.
No, really, really far. And look, the Cashman, he knew he didn't have any lefty bats. He didn't do anything about it. And you could see it with the lineup. They batted Odor third. Yesterday, the Rangers are paying Odor not to play for their team. Odor got pinch hit for on Saturday, so he wasn't good enough to bat in whatever spot that was, the seventh or eighth. And then he's batting third on Sunday. Do you think the Dodgers or the Rays or a team like that would ever bat Odor third? The answer is no. Losing teams do that.
I mean, he wasn't on a major league roster to start the season for a reason. And due to injuries, we're forced to play him every day. And he's had some big hits. Like, he's had some great hits. He hasn't had enough hits, but the ones he's had have been good. But it's just like, it's the logic that you're explaining. It's not his performance. It's the logic of the person making the lineup to say, yesterday you weren't good enough to hit in a big position. Today you're going to bat third.
Because you're the only lefty. Because the GM didn't give us any lefties. And let me talk about Stan for a second. Team went into the weekend, I believe, 7.5 games out of first place. You know, season is clearly spiraling. And you rest him because you can't play him in the outfield. What do we have to lose? What do we have to lose? We were desperate for wins. Stick him in left field and maybe you tell him don't dive or something. Just catch the balls right to you. Like, you cannot have him sit both games and have Judge sit one of the games. So they played in basically 25% of the possible whatever for the weekend. And look, the Phillies played all their guys and they played harder and they won. You cannot rest Stanton, man. You can't do it.
I said on a podcast before the season started that Hal had to make a decision when it comes to Stanton, because I think now we've passed where, like, he could hire a hitman to kill him and then still get out of prison before the contract's up. At this point, I don't see where there's a path that the Yankees are going to bring Giancarlo Stanton that gets him to being a person who can play the outfield, right? It feels like the team has given up on the hope of getting to that place at all, which makes him an albatross. So why wouldn't you play him and just hope he gets injured so you collect the insurance?
You have nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. There's nothing to lose by sitting him. And look, if they're seven games up in first place, fine. Give them the rest days. You're chilling. You've earned that right. First place teams earn the right to load manage to do that shit. We are a fourth place team. We're not even a second or a third place team. We're a fucking fourth place team, and we're load managing guys and resting guys. Where's the sense of urgency? At what point, you know, is it 10 games out? Is it 12 games out? Like, at what point are you guys actually going to start trying? Or does that point not exist?
Well, it's we treat it like, you know, poker when it's, oh, I'm pot committed, so I've got to, you know, bet again. That doesn't exist because you only lose what's in the pot. So it's as if we're just saying like, oh, well, all right, well, we got this MVP caliber hitter, outfielder, you know, leader. He can't play the field anymore. And we still have to sit him a lot so he can do half of the job. So we're really getting, like, what do we get? We're getting maybe 40% of, if not 30% of what we're supposed to get.
I'd say a third, yeah. 33, yeah.
So.
Disaster.
Just fucking write his name on the lineup. Make him say he won't go out there.
Yes, yes. Agreed. No, you got to play him in left.
He's 31.
Beltran was playing the outfield for us at 38. In 2014, we've had motherfucker 37, 38-year-olds playing the outfield every day. He's 31. He's benching Adriano Lima. He looks like a Greek god. Get out there and catch the fucking three fly balls that come to a game and shut up, man. It's so frustrating. And the worst part is that they passed on Harper and Machado for this guy. Two guys that play 160 games every single year and are never on the injured list. Look, you know, go to Baseball Reference. They each play every single day. Either one of those guys would have been a better option than Stanton. And we chose door three, which is the worst door. That's why it sucks.
And we're saying, you know, like when Stan gets hot, he's on another planet. He started to get a little hot last week. But he is going to sit, like, we're obviously not getting there. But if we were, he's going to sit World Series games. That's even David Ortiz had a first baseman's mitt.
Yep, absolutely. And how many teams are successful with a full-time DH? Let's remember, most good American League teams use the DH as a way to give guys half days, rest days, like use it as a rotating spot. Most teams don't have a full-time guy to pencil into DH every day. You want to use it to give guys rest over 162. You want to load manage, use that spot for that. It's just so fucked up. It's not going to work. And he strikes out a ton. It's redundant. You know, him and Judge is a little bit redundant. And it's tough, man, because Harper's a lefty. And he gets on base way more, and he really didn't sign. I mean, they make the same amount of money, basically. It just would have been a way better move. So would a Machado.
I mean, we were close, and part of me wonders, like, is this where we expected Stanton to be at this point? Anyway, but we thought we would have raised two trophies by now. So be like, oh, well, we won in 18, we won in 20.
Oh, it was a buy now. Yeah. It was for 18, 19, 20. The other thing looking back, though, is he hit 59 homers in 17. I don't know if he's ever gone over 40 other than that. I mean, that was clearly an anomaly. I mean, his stock was as high as it ever was. I think if it's any other year than 2017, like if Stanton hit 36 homers, like would they have made that trade? But he hit 59 out of nowhere. He's never going to do that again. It's just so classic, man. It's so frustrating. So, and he was an outfielder in the National League. Like, where did this come from?
You know, the guy who won an MVP and is a natural right fielder, we moved to left field for the not MVP.
For the almost Gold Glover.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, no, he never hit over 40 home runs aside from that season. Next highest is 38.
Clear anomaly. And yeah, you should have done your idea in March. You were right. You know, give Judge half the games and Wright half a DH. Same thing with Stanton. That would have been a better plan. This plan of Stanton never playing the field, it's what a disaster. In six more years between him and Hicks, these outfield commitments they have.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And wait, real quick on Cashman. He's extended two guys. He's given two guys extensions.
Yeah, let's not go real quick. Let's go real long on Cashman because we've talked players that need to go. We've talked manager needs to go. Someone else has to go.
GM needs to go. He's given two guys extensions. Aaron Hicks, Luis Severino. I believe combined they've played about 10 or 15% of the possible games since those extensions. Those were the two guys that he committed to, and they haven't played. So good job there on the extensions, Cash.
So we've been going back and forth with, and he's still tweeting as we're recording this, at New King of Media. And he said something about being about the podcast, so I assume he's listening to this. He says, Brian Cashman is exceptional at his job. Is Brian Cashman a nice guy? Yes. Is Aaron Boone a nice guy? Yes. Is Aaron Judge a nice guy? Yes. I'm not saying to send these guys to North Korean labor camps. I'm talking about sending Aaron Judge to San Diego where it's 72 degrees every day. I'm talking about sending Boone back to Arizona, wherever he lives, where it's like, that's the life that you've chosen. I'm talking now about sending Brian Cashman back up to Connecticut where he can cry into a pile of money. Brian Cashman did not build the 1996 team. He didn't build the 98 team. He didn't build the 99 team. He didn't build the 2000 team. Did he make moves that contributed to all of those teams? Yes, he was an assistant GM. He was in the organization. He made signings. He made trades that got us some of those other championships. He did that with George Steinbrenner's purse strings wide open. From there, we were a team consistently chasing and chasing and just trying to find one hole. Let's plug one hole. You know, before it was Trevor Story, it was Gary Sheffield. Like, we've gone through this before.
Yeah.
We choked as badly as you can choke in 2004. We went out there and we let the midges cost us possibly a World Series. We let Brian Cashman go up against Joe Torre and chose to stick with Brian Cashman. He brought in Girardi and he bought a World Series for George Steinbrenner on his deathbed. That was a deathbed World Series. That was, you've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul behind it. You don't get to take it with you. That's what that World Series was. But since then, playing within the confines of the new game of Yankees baseball, which is Hal Steinbrenner saying, you got to give me a reason to go over $210 million. Now, I want to make it clear. We're saying $210 million. People talk about, oh, he won't go over that threshold. Like, he won't go over $100 million. We're not the Pirates. We're spending as much money as they're saying, if you have to spend any more than this, you're doing a bad job and you have to pay a penalty. That's what that is. If you have to spend more than this, you're not good at your job. So we're going to charge you a dumb tax to help the poor teams who are playing better than you. When it came down to Cashman versus Girardi, we made the right move. We walked away from Girardi, who wasn't going to, you know, blend with these young players. We stuck with Cashman. We let Cashman make the trades in 16, and he got us the number one farm system in baseball. And we have moved further and further from being World Series champions because of that. Now, people get hung up on, he's built the number one farm system before. He could do it again. It's number one on paper. We have not won the World Series. Trading for Gleyber Torres, Clint Frazier, finding Gio, finding Voit, finding all these guys. Sessa, Green, getting Britton, re-signing Britton. These moves didn't work. They're like, they didn't work. Signing Aaron Hicks, signing Seve, breaking the, like, the Yankees have two rules. No facial hair. We don't sign you to early extensions. We broke rule number two twice, and it hasn't worked either time. And then here's the rebuttal to that. Well, you know, they got injured, and, you know, the injuries have been really tough. So he picked the wrong guys. He picked the wrong trainers. It is systemic failure. It is not, there is no bailing out of, and some people like to say, well, you know, in order to make deals, someone's got to want to make a deal with you. And Brian Cashman is doing this job so long. His peers have aged out. It's a younger, newer group of guys who've been loving baseball for their whole lives, but as fucking nerds. And you know what nerds hate? Fucking cool guys like the Yankees. So that's the deal. You're going to get fucked. It's part of the job. And if you can't do that part of the job, you can't manage that, you can't do the job.
You can't. You brought up his age. To me, the problem is just the total job security that this guy has. Like, his last name is basically Steinbrenner at this point. He's been in the organization since 1986. There is not a thought in his mind about being fired. There's no pressure anymore. He knows he's going to have a job no matter what, whether they miss the playoffs, whether they don't. That's my issue. He doesn't have to worry about job security. And everything that he gets praised for, oh, he knows how to handle New York. He knows how to handle the media. He knew how to handle the boss. Like, none of that applies anymore. None of that is relevant today as we sit here in 2021. It's just not. You brought up those, he has five championships, mocking that. I agree with you. Did he add some complimentary pieces to the late 90s team? Sure. But he walked into that. Either of us could have won three championships in a row with that group. In 2009, any idiot could have went into that offseason and given CC a blank check, given Burnett a blank check, and they had a hole at first base. Tex was a very easy signing too. Like, there was no great brain power involved in any of that.
He has made some great trades. Gio Urshela is a fantastic move. He's
some been good dumpster diving.
He's been an amazing pickup. How many MVPs has Gio won? None.
Zero.
None.
Zero.
Luke Voit won the home run king for a 60-game season where he was injured most of it, and now he's missing most of this season. Like,
Missed another chance to sell high. Could have traded him after he won the home run title the end of last year. Could have gotten a lefty bat. Missed that chance.
Yep. And I'm not saying, again, Luke Voit's a bad guy. He's a good player. He wants to be a Yankee. He takes it very seriously. He works hard to get back. But at a certain point, you got to worry about the laundry and not the guys wearing it.
You do. And let's look at the pitching side of Brian Cashman. This goes back 20 years. To me, this goes back to Javier Vazquez. He traded for him twice, whether it's Vazquez, whether it's Paxton, whether it's Tyone, whether it's Sonny Gray. Like, it's all the fucking same. None of his pitching trades ever work. None of them. He's like 0 for, what is he, like 0 for 40? What trade deadline pitching moves has he made, or offseason starting pitching trades has he made that have worked out, other than throwing CC a ton of money, or he threw a Tanaka a ton of money? That really didn't work out either. He is horrible, horrible at evaluating starting pitching.
He went out on a limb one time and got Roger Clemens like four times. Like, that's,
oh, yeah,
you know,
that's tough move coming off two Cy Youngs. And getting the boss's blessing there. But yeah, I mean, I always think of Vazquez. I think of Esteban Loaiza, Jose Contreras. Like, me and you, like, you know, I'm 28, you're 35, 36. Like, we can go back and remember horrible, horrible trades in the early 2000s.
Kayagawa.
Oh, God. Yeah, that was our answer to Dice K.
Yeah. Kayagawa.
Oh, yeah. No. And the Vazquez one he did twice. Yeah, a lot of moves. The guy doesn't know starting pitching. Like, at some point, you just don't know it. If I'm Hal, I'm going to the Rays GM. I'm saying I'm going to double your salary, whatever it is. And instead of having a $60 million payroll, you can go up to 210. You can go up to 209, 999.
Yeah.
Come on aboard. Bring your whole staff. Like, that's what I'm doing. They clearly have a better operation. They do way more with way less. We do a little with a lot.
I mean, I think Hal could go to someone like that and say, I'll double your salary. You need to get us below 175, and then you can go right up to 210. And I may have more. But, like, clear out some of the salary. Do whatever your magic is. Yeah. Clear some of this out. And then let's go out there and you know, and let me make you – imagine being the GM who replaces Brian Cashman, changes the like, changes the culture, changes the franchise's approach, and wins World Series, becomes the fucking new Theo Epstein.
Be awesome. Dan said he's got a stat about Cash at the trade deadline.
Oh, it's not a stat, but I guess Jim Bowden or Bowden.
Yeah.
He was on Mad Dog Radio, and they were asking him if he thinks the Yankees will make a trade at the deadline. And he said that he got a text from Cashman that says, "We suck right now, but not for long." That's a whole load of bullshit.
If yeah, I heard it. I saw that, and
guys, he's lurking in the weeds.
Yeah,
he's a ninja.
Yeah, and people were like, "Oh, is Bowden, you know, one." There were some people saying, like, should Bowden be divulging that information or whatever? But I like fuck Jim Bowden. I don't give a shit what he says. I think that Cashman believed that Luis Severino was gonna be coming back, and maybe Kluber's gonna be coming back. And now we find out while we're at the game on Friday that Sevy, you know, has to get helped. All I see is a screenshot of him being helped carried off the field. And it seems like it's a groin injury. I don't know the extent of it. I don't think anything's really been talked about the extent of it. But let me tell you, groins don't heal easily, especially when your job is planting or pushing with that groin. It's like an oblique. It's like Voigt's oblique. It's not going to go away until the offseason. And now you've got a guy who's trying to build up his arm who's got a bad groin. Like, your system is thrown off. You're going to end up hurting your arm again.
He's not going to pitch this year, I don't think, at this point. Not enough time to get ramped back up. And if they're 15 games out in August, what the fuck is the point of bringing him back? I might be mistaken. I believe Sevy is going to be a free agent after next year. He's missed so much time that it's just gone so quickly, and it seems like he's still a kid, but I want to say next year is the last year of that 4-year extension that he got, and then he's a free agent, and I'm sure shit letting him walk at this point. And for everybody that says, Dan, what do you got? Is that right?
4 years, $40 million, club option for 2023.
Okay, so he could. So if they decline that option, he could be a free agent. Like, this, what a sad turn of events this has been for Sevy. He basically hasn't pitched in 3 years.
Just getting paid, though. Set his family up for life. Generational wealth.
Him and Hicks, the two guys that Cashman looked at this group and said, you know what, they're two guys that I'm going to commit to. And Hicks, Hicks was injured before that extension. It's not like he signed.
Hicks was injured all the time. Yeah. Hicks has always been injured, but I still, for $10 million, I didn't think it was going to be this bad. I was like, oh, maybe we'll get like a year or two out of him. For $10 million a year to be like, all right, we have our center fielder. I thought it was fine because I thought we could just walk away from the contract. I still think we can just walk away from the contract at some point if need be.
I wasn't like upset about it, but I was just like, what is the point of this? Like, people were acting like, oh, you got to get this done before he gets to free agency, as if teams were lining up to give Aaron Hicks like $200 million in free agency. I don't think there was going to be a ton of competition for him, but Cashman has his guys that he loves, that he's prideful about. He found Hicks from the diamond in the rough or whatever from Minnesota. And Cashman's very stubborn. And for everybody that says, oh, but who are you going to replace him with? Like, that's not my job. That's Hal's job.
Yeah.
But there are clearly guys that are going to do more with the resources that he's given Cashman. And don't give me the bullshit about it's Hal's fault. We have the second highest payroll in baseball. That is more than enough to win with.
Yeah. I mean, it's more than enough to not be in fourth place. Who got us in this position is Brian Cashman. And I get it. Oh, there are injuries. Things are but, like, you made the decision to get the guys who ended up having the injuries. Like, sometimes that's the way the cookie crumbles. We're not doing it day one of your job. We're doing this 20-something years in.
And for the small sample size crowd, one division championship in the past 7 years, that's a long sample size for me. That's plenty good enough. He's never valued speed or athleticism. We've always been kind of old and slow. If you want to go back to, like, starting, I don't know, 2002, would you agree with me? We've never had speedsters. We've never had great defenders. I know he's got the quote, like, oh, I build my team with big, hairy monsters. Like, maybe you need to change up your philosophy that hasn't worked.
Well, so that's why I think it's so important to think about going outside.
Yes,
going
new
outside
blood,
the organization.
Man.
Because when Watson left, it made sense to have Cashman. This is right-hand man. We've got this core. We just won a World Series. We've been close like a couple of years. Let's keep it going. And then obviously if it doesn't work, we'll just fire this young guy. But now like we have our system, and our system does not work. It just doesn't work. There's nothing that says it works. There's no evidence that it does. So let's gut everything. How we analyze players, how, you know, and yes, we have to eat some bad years, some lean years. But having Cole, having Stanton, having DJ, you can still, in a year or two, shock the world like we did in 17 and be back in contention. But it's not going to happen. You have to clear something out.
Yeah, it's not happening this year, next year. And I was going to say, look at Max Scherzer, look at Verlander. They dominated through their age 36, 37 seasons. Cole's still 30. He hasn't even turned 31 yet. So I'm not worried about that. Yeah, the speed and athleticism kills me. And everybody says, oh, but we need to use analytics. All the good teams are using analytics. It's not enough to just have the analytics. Everybody has access to the same shit, the same information. The Rays and the Dodgers and the Astros and all those guys, they're better at applying it, at taking the nerd data, whatever it is, and actually applying it to get the better players, to get the right fit. It's not enough to just, oh, we use analytics. Like clearly we're not good at applying the information into results, if that makes sense.
No, it makes complete sense. We all have the same information. What do we do with it? They make good decisions with it. We, at times, it seems like we ignore it.
Yeah, I don't want to go away from analytics. I just want to be better at it.
Yeah. That's all is. And like Cashman could have some job with the organization where he's not making the decisions. You know, I don't think this is a like, oh, well, we'll get a general manager, let him stay as president. Like, no, we need someone needs to be given the power to fully take this over. I mean, it's the New York Yankees. Do you want to run the New York Yankees?
Yeah. Anybody's going to want the job. Anybody decent. Yeah. Now, I want him out of the building, though. I disagree with you. I think if he's lurking around.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. He has okay. to, like, unless it's some kind of, like, ambassador role where they, you know, bring him back for something or, you know, maybe you want to give him a, you know, $150K a year salary of, like, an advisor that, you know,
sure,
no one's calling.
Yeah. Consultant that nobody reaches out to.
I mean, the guy's worth, I've looked online, he's worth between, like, I've seen $12 and $20 million. Like, great. He living on just returns, you're making $1.5 million a year. Just fucking go live your life.
Yeah, see ya. As Michael Kay would say, yeah, I'm done with him. We're obviously done with Boone. Ready to sell. It's going to be an interesting 6 weeks. If they make some half-assed buying attempt or they just stand pat, it's going to suck because you have a chance like you had in 2016 to reset a bit. To get some assets in here, revamp, and I hope they take advantage of it. Because they do have, you know, the team sucks, but they do have pieces that have value, like Chapman, like Green, like Britton. Let's see what they do with them. Even Torres still has some value.
Yeah, and let's not do what we've done with all our pitching and just say, well, there's value. This guy could be good. Let's hold on to it. Like, you hit a point where it's like, you've got too many good prospects. You only have so many spots on the major league roster. Not all those guys are going to pan out. Hopefully you pick the right ones, but if you leave them all in AAA, none of them panned out.
No, and I would even take like Davey, Clark Schmidt, all the slapdick guys that we talk about. I would trade them for some lottery tickets, like some 19-year-old hard-throwing, just lottery tickets of maybe younger guys with upside. Because we know, like, look, Davey has two starts this year. He lost to the Orioles and he lost to the Tigers. Like, we know what he is. And we talked about it. We know what Clark Schmidt is. These guys aren't good enough to be major leaguers. Maybe you trade them to a team that's, I don't know, dumb enough to take a chance on them and just give me some lottery tickets. Like, yeah, that's where I'm at.
Someone responded to me that, well, you know, yeah, you're right. We should trade like Judge and stuff. But like pitching wise with Cole, and then we have all this good young talent. And I said, we have young. I don't know if it's talented. It's definitely not good. Like, if these guys were good, they would be in the major leagues playing for the team that is 8.5 games back having pitchers throw a third of an inning, having pitchers go out there and get smacked around on a Sunday. Like, if they were good, they'd be here. They'd be contributing.
Yeah, exactly. That's fourth place team. Now, if I told you we could sign Corey Seager next offseason, we have to trade either Gio or Voit. DJ would move accordingly. But those, you know, between those two guys, who would you rather hang on to? Because I think that's what, you know, they'd have to get rid of one of them.
I would hold on to Gio.
Okay, me too.
Yeah.
You're younger, a little more valuable. Yeah. But you gotta trade somebody. You gotta shake it up, man.
But now then, I think we still run into the situation of, I mean, how valuable is Glaber's bat that we're just going to keep moving guys around to mask his inability in the field? Like, yeah, he made a couple good plays this weekend. Like, he made a couple of great plays this weekend. But if the idea is, like, oh, well, now, you know, we move him to second, like, well, we just got worse at second base by not playing DJ there.
We did, but again, DJ is going to be getting older. I don't think it's the same conversation we were had in 2019. So I'm fine moving him to first, like starting next year. And then you have Gio at third. You say, Glaber, you're playing second for the next decade. And Corey Seager, who's a better shortstop than you, he's going to play short, and he's left-handed. Like, they really need a left-handed bat. And when you look at all the shortstops that are available, I think it's Correa, Baez, Story, and then Seager. Only one of them's left-handed. Like, to me, it's a no-brainer if you're going to splurge on one of those guys.
How much money is Seager going to make?
I think, like, I don't know, between $3 and $350. It's probably going to be the, I mean, what did Lindor get? $341, around there?
I don't know if we're in play.
Are we not even a win now enough team? Yeah, no, you're right. Like, would he even want to come here?
Would he want to come here? But, like, you sign Cole for the 2020 season. You barely make the playoffs. You possibly miss the playoffs in 2021. And, like, you need to come up with that money. Like, we're not Seager away from being there. So, like, yeah, if you clear out Kluber's contract, that gets you $11 million. I mean, Gardner's on a two-year deal.
Chapman's really the one with the salary relief at $17.5 or whatever that could really save him a lot of money. And like you said, what's the point of having an elite top three closer if you never have a lead? That's why they traded him the first time.
I'd rather blow every game in the ninth inning than never win a game.
Yeah.
You know, like,
it's that stuff. Are you planning on going to any games? Like, if they just stay on the current pace, like, will you go this year again?
I will. I would say that, well, yeah. So, Labor Day weekend, I have a wedding at the Bronx Zoo at 6 o'clock, the Sunday of Labor Day weekend. The Yankees play at 1 o'clock. My plan is to go to that game in a tuxedo and go directly from Yankee Stadium to the wedding.
You'll need a hard stop of, like, what do you think, 4:15?
For what?
4:30 to, like, leave the game. If it goes into extras or something, no?
Oh, I don't care about, like, a wedding ceremony? Oh, yeah. I don't care about anyone's ceremony. Oh,
okay.
No one's saying anything interesting there.
Okay, yeah.
You know, like, if it's like, because at that point, it's like, all right, this could be my last game of the season. Like, yeah, I'm going to enjoy this. Okay. I'll be there for the reception.
Other than that, where you have like a pre-planned reason to go, other than that.
I have no. So, you know, we brought my daughter to the game.
Yeah.
And she did great. She had a great time. I mean, 4-hour game, extra innings, really champed through it. So my wife said, like, so now that she did so good, like, when do we go to the Bronx? What's the point?
Like, exactly.
I can go. Like, bringing her to a Yankee game is not going to be a fun experience. Like, you can clip this, show it to her when she's 18 years old. Joey girl, I love you, but your first Yankee game is not going to be fun for me. Many Yankee games for you are not going to be fun for me. It will ruin the thing that I loved by bringing another thing that I love there. That's the honest fact. Sometimes she wants to be picked up, and I just say, I don't want to hold you. That's not what I want to do right now. You're a sack of potatoes. But I love her. And to say, all right, now on a Saturday, I got to get up early.
8:30.
You know, get her, you know, she's got to eat, she's got to, you know, all this shit. I got to put the dogs in the basement, because if we leave them out and leave for a while, they piss on my bed. And then I'm going to drive up there. She'll probably start to fall asleep. She'll need lunch in the car. So now my wife's in the back seat feeding her while I'm driving. So now I'm an Uber driver. She's going to start to, it's going to be nap time, right about game time. Like, there is, and then these guys are going to not even try hard. There's no, like, plus side for me.
Let me ask you something I've been debating. So my bachelor party is going to be, it's mid-September, and we got, like, this really nice, like, it's like a mansion of a beach house somewhere.
Are you going to ask me to be your best man? I'm kidding.
You threw me off my train of thought. But it's somewhere, I don't know if the town, it's not like Seaside, but somewhere around there where it's like you can get to the Bronx if you want to or you don't have to. My original plan was it's Thursday to Sunday, and like Friday night we'll get a party bus and we'll go. They're playing the Indians. Like, we'll do a Yankee game.
Yeah.
And now I'm sitting here like, do I want to have all my friends get onto a bus, spend an entire night going up to the Bronx and back to watch a 500 team, or do I want to just hang out in a beach town?
And these guys are like guys you grew up with and went to college with who are not Yankee fans.
I'd say I think there's like 12 and maybe 3 of them are Yankee fans. Yeah, the majority is not. I'd say like 3 out of 12 are.
I mean,
and 2 others.
There's like, always even worse it? There's always the chance that they turn things around and yada, yada, yada. No, dude. No. No. You're going to make 9 people go do a thing that they don't want to do deep down in your soul, you know, you don't want to do? No.
Yeah, no, I know the way you say it. I'm going to give it, and my deadline for myself to decide is the trade deadline. So I'm going to give it, and I haven't made it, but like, it, you know, in April, it was like, I'm definitely doing this.
Yeah.
Like, this was not even a question. You know, they'll be in it in September. I was like, you know, maybe it'll be a clinching weekend. Like, it'll be great.
If and this is like, the year I got married, I'm sitting here going, I made all these fucking people book flights to Chicago, and the Yankees stink. At least you're not making them get on a plane.
Exactly. That was my thing from the beginning, is like, I just want to make this easy. So, and all my friends live in the Northeast, so it's like, this can be like, if you live in New York or Baltimore or Philly, like, this is a nice central
location. Yeah, you can still pivot. You have a lot of flexibility.
Yeah. I guess you, and you did 2015 when they were, I guess, hanging, they made the playoffs as a wild card. And
yeah, you know. But, yeah, we stink.
Yeah, I think I will pivot. Good idea.
Yeah, I mean, or you do also have the possibility of playing it as it gets closer and just seeing, like, what maybe even having, like, have your best man do it and reach out and essentially be like, hey, so, listen, hey, Yankees, ticket office, you guys stink. What's a suite going for? You know, yeah. What's a luxury experience? Because if you're going to go and you're going to have, you know, like, if you're going to make these guys go, you weren't going to sit in the 400 level, right?
No, I was looking at Jim Beam, because it's like 170 for unlimited food and drink for like the first 5 innings or something.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that still puts you up on like the 300 level, which makes sense.
Yeah.
But if they're, you know, if it's, what'd you say, like 175?
Unlimited drinks through the 5th inning.
Yeah. What if there's something where it's like, I don't know, you call them, I don't know that they do this or they have this flexibility or whatever, but you're just like, I don't know, what do you have? Oh, they do have an all-you-can-eat and I believe all-you-can-drink thing in Delta too. Now you could possibly move down a level for maybe the same price or comparable because this team stinks. Like, they're going to have a real hard time filling seats. There might be some flexibility later.
They are. To me, it's more about just like, we were bitching about the time in the beginning. Like, do I want to sit on a bus for an hour and 20 minutes each way for if they're 11 games out? Like, the motivation's out there. The thing is, I'll be in Central North Jersey. Any bar that we go to on a Friday night, that game would be on anyway. It's not like I'll have to bring my own TV or fucking computer anywhere I go. Like, the game will be accessible. But yeah, there's just no motivation right now to go to games. And that's sad. Like, for me and you to be saying that in June, like, other than, like, we love going to games as much as anybody I know. Like, it's just sad.
Yeah. So it's only I'm going to be honest. I don't think you have the mental capacity to remove yourself and go, all right, this is not, they're not doing it this year. I'm just going to go and enjoy everything else. You don't right. have that. I don't have the ability to. I mean, you were like, all right, I'm going to go on Saturday. And it was like, well, you were like, my dad's here. I was like, he's not coming in. And you're like, we got to do our pregame thing. We go, we see our seats, we see our view, we go get a drink. And I was like, all right, hopefully that helps the team.
You're right. I can't do it halfway.
Is your dad going to go to your bachelor party? Like, if you go to a game, is he going to go to the game?
I don't think so.
I can see him tagging along. He seemed like a cool guy.
Yeah, well, maybe for the game. I haven't thought about it. I don't even know if I'm doing the game, man. It's a lot of questions.
Yeah. I mean, it is. One thing we should touch on, I mean, listen, hey, the team stinks. Everyone should be fired. If you think differently, you're probably dumb. Because you have no reason to other than emotional attachment. I'm just saying there is nothing statistically or in the laws of probability that say we should not trade Aaron Judge. We should not get rid of Aaron Boone. We should not look at getting rid of Cashman. I have said I think Cashman may have with the job security have one more manager under him. Like, hey, you know, I missed on this one. The last few guys have been managers under me, have won World Series. You know, if we give him any Torrey credit, give me one more. But then he probably just ruins Don Mattingly's legacy. So I did want to talk, just because you're like the biggest Cole guy in the world and you try to cheat at kickball. This sticky spider tack, all this stuff situation. I mean, we haven't talked about it at all. And I don't want anyone to think like we're hiding from it because like Cole did it. Like a lot of these guys do it. And for a long time, they were able to use pine tar. It sounds like they've gotten more intense with it. And it was just like, hey, the league said it's illegal, but like we don't really care because player safety, you know, you're keeping a better grip on the ball. And then nerds like Trevor Bauer and like Cole, because those are baseball nerds, if they didn't have the ability to throw as hard as they do, they would probably be like studying the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Those guys said, oh, anything you'll allow me to do, I'm going to find an advantage with. And they did it, and they keep doing it, and a lot of guys keep doing it, and now the league's kind of changing their mind, and it's 1998 all over again. Andro was legal. You can take Andro. In the 80s, like, I mean, Jose Canseco, you could take steroids. They weren't banned from baseball. These guys just did. They went to the extent of the rules, and you guys said it was fine. So I don't blame these players. If I don't feel that we were hoodwinked by Cole, I don't think it changes Cole's contract.
Not
Cole became a number one guy, a number one draft pick by playing baseball. If everyone else is doing what he's doing, is using grip, then I want him using grip. If no one's using grip, then fine, don't use the grip. If people are taking steroids, I want everyone taking steroids.
I tweeted the other day, I was like, Cole was the consensus number one overall pick out of UCLA and throws 100 miles an hour. It's not like this is not what makes him good. And look, MLB dead in the ball, offense disappeared, and now they're scapegoating the pitchers because this is their way to kind of get that back and bring the offense back. It's very clear, it's very obvious that these guys are being scapegoated, and Cole's being singled out a little bit, but him, Scherzer, and Verlander are all in the same text chain with that Bubba guy, the Angels clubhouse guy. So if you want to single out Cole, it's all of them. They're all doing it. We know Cole's doing it. Like you said, if they all stop, Cole should still be, you know, in that 99th percentile of elite pitching. So I'm not worried about him with that. I am a little bit annoyed with MLB trying to scapegoat him and these guys.
Yeah. I mean,
we have so many other, like you said, we didn't talk about it. Like for me, like the Yankee concern list, like that is so far down on the list. You know, we have so many other issues.
Like that's the other, like, you know, Carrabas and guys like that, like to point out of it. Like, I don't care that his spin rate, I care about the home runs. I care about our offense stinking. But I didn't even get a chance to read it. The guy who apparently like made the sticky stuff is now like speaking out to Sports Illustrated. I didn't know Sports Illustrated was still around. But apparently here is everything out. And it's just like, I don't know, dude, shut the fuck up. It's like anyone who bitched about like, oh, well, I sold all these guys steroids. Shut the fuck up, man.
Yeah,
you're going to do illegal shit. You're going to, like, that was your decision. Fucking live with it. Don't be a rat.
Nobody cares. So, yeah, no, I'm not. Not that is very, very far down the list. I'm just hoping we don't get swept in Buffalo, if I'm being dead honest. And then they got the Athletics. It's looking like a 1-5, 2-4 week at best. And their record at Buffalo last year was horrible. That was not a place they played well.
Yeah.
For those to remember.
We haven't played well there at all. And I saw some people saying, like, you know, we should be able to go to Buffalo. And, like, in theory, we can go to Buffalo and we can beat the Blue Jays. They're only a game better than us. Like, they're not having a great
season. Their lineup's a lot better, man. Their lineup is a lot better than ours right now.
Yes. But, like, it wouldn't be totally shocking. I don't think we're going to sweep them. But the Athletics are a first-place team.
Who play us very tough, at least the last 5 years, yeah.
Who've always played us very tough. Like, they're not like some anomaly, like, first-place team. Like, this isn't the NL West. They're still, like, a 600 team.
And they're good, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know.
Better to have it blow up now than have some mirage and be the second wild card and run it back. It's almost better. You almost want all the worst case scenario stuff to happen at this point.
You want them to deal with what's going on. You want to deal with the actual situation.
Because let's be honest, they go on some sick run. They make the wild card game. Even if Cole wins that wild card game, they're going to get bounced in the DS. They're not getting past that. That's their ceiling to me, is maybe Cole could win a wild card game. And then they're toast. Done.
I can promise you, if they go on a run and make the second wild card game, I will totally forget everything that I've said during this whole podcast.
Oh, me too, me too.
And it will be, and I'm going to tell you right now, that's wrong. These issues are still going to be there. The issues are very real. We see all the issues.
Good problem to have.
Yes. I'd love to have that problem. But we'll be right back here next year doing the same thing.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything else, man.
Yeah, I feel a little better, though.
Yeah, oh, me too. This is good therapy.
Yeah. We got to meet Dan. Me and Nick both got sad and didn't go out after the game. Dan, did you go out after the game?
Yeah, I did. Shout out to the BP Philly crew guys. It was Tom, Dave, Chicken Parm John. They were awesome. So I had a lot of fun after.
Good group.
Nice.
What was the vibe like at Xfinity? Was it like, were like a lot more Yankee fans, more Philly fans? Were Philly fans talking shit?
Definitely a lot more Philly fans after the game. We ended up going to Victory, that bar.
Yeah.
And I remember me and Tom were getting down on the dance floor, and then some girl just came up to us like holding the L.
Oh man! See, I would. That's
blew
why
her
I
a little kiss, and it was fine.
That's why I didn't go. I can't deal with that stuff after a loss.
I'm too old to find my buzz again. I lost my buzz, and I was like, if I start ramming up from here, I definitely don't come to Sunday's game.
You're like a pitcher when there's a rain delay. Like, once you have to stop throwing, that's it.
Yeah, essentially. Like, when we tied in the ninth inning, I turned around, and they don't – it's not like in New York where if you're in a luxury area, they don't stop serving. Like, they still stop serving. Because I was like, oh, we tied this game up. Like, I'm about to chug, like, two beers and, like, find this buzz and go out with the boys.
Thinking the same thing, and then they didn't.
Yeah, we stink. Well, hey, you can follow Nick on Twitter.
At NKirbyNYY.
You can follow Dan.
At Juicy99.
Juicy99. You can follow me at JJ from the Bronx. You can follow the show at George's Box Pod. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know when I'm going to see you at a parade, but I don't think it's going to be this year. I don't think it's going to be this year. And honestly, hey, if you could find a deal on tickets and, like, you get to have an experience you don't normally have, don't fucking go to these games. Don't go and sit in the fucking 200 level. Don't go to work every fucking day at some job that if you died would have a job opening for you, like, within a week to fill your spot, and then take that money to go sit in the fucking 300 level. If you're going to go, scrimp and save and do whatever and try to find a deal, go on StubHub, wait till the last second before a game, and maybe someone's selling a Legend Suite ticket for $100. It's happened before. I've done it before. But don't give your hard-earned money to sit in the 300 level. It's not a family experience. Honestly, buy drugs instead. We'll see you at some parade.